So friends, we have been in this whole teaching series really as a way of trying to address the journey of discipleship to Jesus that we're called into with those simple words that Jesus calls us with to follow him. We're talking about the deep end of the pool, right? The one that continues to expand as we walk further into it and as we begin to emulate the way of Jesus more and more. For those of us who want not just the truth of Jesus, but we want the life of Jesus as well. We want the king and we want the kingdom, and we're being invited to have both. And while we can't know for sure what the way of Jesus will look like for every individual person, we are discovering and discerning together that the scriptures lay out these three arenas where spiritual formation occurs in a very unforced sort of a rhythm. The arenas of connect, grow, and serve. And that's our vision of a discipleship journey with Jesus. So what's the plan to get there? Right? Because if we don't have a plan, then it can just be like a map that's really another piece of paper until we begin to unfold it and actually chart our particular course on it. Right? In other words, if we want to live a vision of discipleship to Jesus continuously, it will require a vow, or what has been known at various times in church history as a rule of life. Now, just to reiterate what we've been saying this whole series, I am not saying that we are responsible for planning our spiritual lives. But it is to say that we can plan for our spiritual lives. We can intentionally design our lives to give Jesus as much free reign and access over our formation as possible. And so today, I want to just simply talk about what is a rule of life, why do we need one, and how can we develop one, okay? So, first of all, the what, right? We are not talking about rules for life, right? The word rule is actually a Latin word, and it comes from the word regula, which is the same word regula that we get words like regular or regulation or ruler. Okay, so it is really meaning a straight piece of wood. That's what it really means. The rule is a straight piece of wood that was a tool used for measuring, right, a straight line between two things. And for our purposes, those two things would be where we are in our baptism, right, and where Jesus has called us to be with him in this journey of discipleship. So what is that straight line then between those two areas? That is the rule, right, of life. And throughout church history, Christians like Martin Luther and Saint Benedict, Mother Teresa have developed a rule of life, especially in Martin Luther's rule. It included morning and evening prayer. It included a daily remembrance of his baptism and of the Ten Commandments, confession, a very robust Sabbath practice, and also meals with his family and his children every day. Right? The limitation that these Christians and others find at some point is that without a rule of life that draws a straight line from where we are at each day to our desire to emulate Jesus, we often end up putting the faith of our baptism into the practices of the world. Right? And Jesus himself warns us about that today in our gospel reading. Right? He says, "No one pours new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the new wine will burst the skins, the wine will run out, and the wineskins themselves will be ruined." So according to Jesus, if we fail to perceive two things, number one, what God is doing in our life in any particular season. And number two, the proper container to hold that blessing of God, then the result will be a double loss. Right? So we have faith, but our habits have drawn straight lines toward other things, like experiencing pleasure and avoiding pain, or towards looking cool and avoiding embarrassment, right? Or toward accumulating wealth and avoiding uncertainty. So we put the new step of faith that Jesus is calling us into old habits, new wine into old wineskins. And the presence and power that God is giving us is lost along the way. But notice that the old habits begin to be less meaningful as well. Right? It's a double loss. The wine is spilled, but the wineskins themselves become less and less relevant to the life that we're meant to live. And so the people around Jesus were curious about the practices of his disciples because they noticed these subtle differences between apprenticeship to Jesus and apprenticeship to John the Baptist and even to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they're asking him, they're saying something essentially like, we like your wine, right? What's your wineskin? What is your practice? What are your vows? Now we might say, right? We might say, that sounds unnecessary. Why do we need a vow, right? Why do we need to bring some legal thing into this? Come on, like, aren't we just here for love? Can't we just love Jesus and love others? Isn't that what this is all really about? Like, why do we have to make everything so formal? So I would say marriage is one of the only contexts that our culture has left where vows actually make sense. And as a licensed wedding officiant, I can tell you that we can do your wedding ceremony in a lot of different ways, right? And I've done a lot of different weddings, right? But if you don't speak vows to each other at some point during the ceremony, I can't sign your paperwork, right? you know, and at some point, right, it's very interesting because you go, look, we love each other, right? You're going to become my whole world, and we're in love. Why formalize something as fiery and organic as love with something as drab and old-timey as vows? Well, I love this quote from Dietrich Bonhoeffer when he was officiating a wedding. He offered this famous piece of advice to a young couple. I wonder if you'll resonate with this. This was in his wedding address. He said to the couple, today, you are young and very much in love, and you think your love can sustain your marriage. It can't. Ooh. I should have just stopped it right there. Where are we going to go from here? I don't know what he's going to do. Instead, right, here's the advice. Let your marriage sustain your love, right? See, Bonhoeffer understood that vows are the container that hold a vision where it can actually grow and flourish, right? Like a trellis in a vineyard, if we take Jesus' teaching about the vine and the branches to its logical conclusion. It makes sense that we need a support structure to lift the vine branches up off the ground, to point them toward the light, to give them guidance for where they should grow to flourish, and to protect them from disease and damage and dangerous predators that are on the ground. And like the vows of a marriage, our rule of life is about love and not legalism. Every commitment that we make to God is always in response to the covenant that he has made with us. We love because he first loved us, and he showed us what true love is by laying down his life in the place of ours. And so a vow or a rule of life is never a means to make God love us more or to prove our commitment to him or to others. Right? It's the means by which we give God the only thing that we have to give him, which is more and more of our own inner lives. More real estate within us for him to work and transform us into the image of his son. Why do we need a vow? Because some of the time, some of the way of Jesus will come as an unforced rhythm to our life. It will come naturally. Feel like the wind is in our sails. But most of the time, most of the way of Jesus will feel forced or awkward or even flat out wrong. And it is then when vows are how we learn, right, to live in the promised land of God's kingdom when we grew up in the slavery of Egypt. I love this from Psalm 56. He says, I am under vows to you, my God. I will present my thank offerings to you, for you have delivered me from death and my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before God in the light of life. Yeah, that's the vision. That our whole lives would be such that we walk with God in the light of life. And so we need a vow to help sustain that. And a good rule of life will include things that we're very familiar with. Right? Perhaps you're very familiar with these arenas, these areas, right? Pastor Carl Ryan calls these our holy habits. I love that idea, the holy habits of Sabbath and prayer and fasting, solitude and generosity, scripture, community, service, and witness. And we have resources, and we're going to be distributing those resources throughout the year to help us kind of develop our own rule of life, our own practices around these, if you want to join us in that, right? But I want to try and finish today by being even more practical. What does your perfect week of spiritual formation look like? What's your perfect week? You know? So let's call that the ceiling. Right? Let's call that the ceiling. But here's the thing about a good ceiling is you should be able to stretch up a little and touch it. Right? So if you can't touch the ceiling, then perhaps we need to lower those vows. So instructions around practicing Sabbath. Let's say that for an example, okay? Maybe the ceiling would be too high if your instructions or your vow was to try and have a whole day of enjoying beautiful art and poetry and music, right? A whole 24 hours where you devote yourself to enjoying God's beautiful creation. Maybe that's too high of a ceiling. You can't really touch that ceiling, right? But it might include instructions for powering off your cell phone and refraining from buying or selling things for a whole day. Maybe that's attainable. That's something that you can actually touch. All right, my ceiling includes daily instructions for things like putting my phone to sleep at night and not letting it wake back up until the morning. Right? Or taking our dog for hot dog walks with our family. Right? But it also includes weekly rhythms for listening to sermons from other pastors and time spent with my wife and monthly rhythms around important relationships. Right? These are the vows. And together, they will make up your rule of life, your straight line, to keep you in the new wineskin so that your wine can mature and develop. But some weeks, and it should be some, like I said, not most, we can't touch the ceiling, right? And that is why we need to articulate the floor, okay? We can't always reach up and teach and touch the ceiling, but we can take a few moments and sit down on the floor, right? And keep ourselves in motion, in rhythm, moving towards our desired outcome. And here at Royal Redeemer, we have kind of three areas that we think of as the floor. It's worship and CGS groups and serving. You can see that in the sort of connect, grow, serve pathway for every single person, member or friend at Royal Redeemer who wants to deepen their soul architecture. That is the floor that we invite you to commit to. Every week, if you can give 3 hours to God, 1 hour for worship, 1 hour for a CGS group, and 1 hour for volunteering, it would be hard to imagine the momentum of your life taking you too far from your ultimate desire. Because that's what this is all about. Bringing us close to our ultimate desire, which is Jesus. The reward for a healthy rule of life is not so that we would look humble in front of our family and friends or that we would memorize a bunch of scripture. The reward is Jesus. More of his life in us and more of our habits directed in him. Discipleship is not some pie in the sky theory or something that you only need to hear about through the lives of those super Christians. This is a path that Jesus placed you on at your baptism. And when you walk it in faith, it will become the greatest adventure of your life. I want to invite you to pray with me. Lord, help us to intentionally design our lives to give you room to shape us. Guide our habits to align with your desires, and may our rule of life deepen our relationship with you. Pray this in your Son's name. Amen.